Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. We've been studying together the life of Gideon and what it means to live by faith. In Judges chapter 6, we're told that God gives Gideon a divine command that I want you to go to your father's house and tear down his idols and build an altar to myself, really challenging him to get rid of the idolatry in his home. And we see in verse 27 of Judges chapter 6 that Gideon obeys even in the midst of great fear in his heart. And where we finished last time was that even though he was fearful, he still obeyed God. And that's what it means to live by faith. Living by faith is not being fearless or thoughtless. It's simply trusting God, even in the midst of fear, even in the midst of doubt, doing what God has told you to do. And that's where we find Gideon. Most of the time, we allow our fears to stand in the way of obeying God. Whether it's times where we want to share the gospel with someone and we're afraid of how they would respond, so what do we naturally do? We don't say anything. How about when it comes to marriage or abortion? We're afraid to speak up about those things because people will label us. Or what will they say about me? Will they make fun of me? So what do? We remain quiet. That is allowing your fear to overcome your obedience to God. We don't see Gideon doing that here. And the challenge to us is Gideon didn't let his fear lead him to disobedience. Yes, he was fearful, but he made the choice to trust God. And then what's interesting is we continue reading in verses 28 to 30, we see that his fears become a reality. How comforting is that? His greatest fear was how the pagan people would respond after he tore down their idol. And what do we find in verses 28 to 30? That these pagan people come to him and they want justice. And the men of the city arose early in the morning, and there was an altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered unto the altar which had been built. And they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. So they go, the men of the city, to Joash's place, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down our altar. They were angry. They wanted justice. They wanted him dead. But what are we going to see? Just because our fears may become reality doesn't give us a green light or the option of not obeying God's commands. There may be adversaries, there may be obstacles, there may be difficulties, there may be pain or suffering. However, that is not a reason for us not to obey God. I find tremendous comfort in these verses because as much as these pagan people wanted to kill Gideon, we see the sovereign hand of God because they're not touching him. He's still alive. God is in control of the whole situation. In fact, a few verses from now, we'll find out that these people who wanted Gideon dead end up fighting for Gideon against the Midianites. So we see the people's reaction. Then we see his father's reaction. This altar was at his father's house. And if anybody should lose it over this would be his father. And in verse 31, but Joash said to all those who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself. What an amazing reaction to someone who up to this point has been an idol worshiper. Joash, Gideon's father, had every reason to be angry with his son. Gideon smashed his father's altar to Baal. He replaced it with an altar to Jehovah. He sacrificed his father's prized bull to the Lord and used the Asherah pole for fuel. But God worked in Joash's heart to the point where he begins to defend his son to an angry mob who wanted him dead. In verse 31, we see Joash's response. He's challenging these Baal worshipers. If he is a god, let him plead for himself. It's the same response we see of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the Baal prophets when he says, if your God is real, he will answer you. And there they sat all day, cutting themselves, screaming out, And we see Elijah saying, oh, he must be out. He must be asleep. And he's just mocking them because he's not a god. Gideon learned a valuable lesson that day, that if he obeyed the Lord, even with fear in his heart, that the Lord would protect him and receive the glory. What do we find in verses 33 to 35? We see, as the story continues, the Midianites, who have been persecuting God's people because God was judging them, come back into the land that they had done every year at the harvest time to steal from the Hebrew people. And Gideon gets an army together, just as the Lord told him to do. However, he does it with great fear. I'm sure Gideon in his mind was questioning what the Lord had already asked him to do. Does God really want me to lead this army? What do I know about warfare? I am a farmer. I'm sure there are others who could do a better job. And because he's probably going through these questions in his mind, when we get to verses 36 to 40, we see a very common, familiar story take place where Gideon challenges God once more with the fleece. Lord, I'm very fearful. I just want to be sure this is what you're asking me to do. And his doubt in the Lord is revealed. In verse 36, it says, so Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, isn't that an interesting statement? If you're going to do just as you said, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and if the dew is on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. He's acknowledging that the Lord has already told him what's going to happen, yet he still doubts. He's still fearful. And what do we find? That God did exactly what Gideon had asked. But in verse 39, we see that that is not enough. So then Gideon says to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. You know, Gideon, he knows that he's walking on thin ice, doesn't he? Lord, don't be angry with me, but let's reverse it this time. And what's amazing is the picture of God's grace. You know, somebody came to me one time and said, what do you think it was that God saw in Gideon that he was allowed such tremendous grace and he just let him do that over and over? I said, it had nothing to do with Gideon. It has everything to do with God. God is a God of grace and mercy. And he reveals that every single day. And that's exactly the picture we see in the life of Gideon. And let's understand something. When he's putting out the fleece, there is nothing noble about this. This is not something that Christians are supposed to look at and say, as I make decisions in life, I'm going to follow Gideon's example. This is an example of doubt. Gideon's action is not a pattern for us to follow. Scripture is very clear that we do not test the Lord. We accept his word. We live by believing his word. We obey his word. The Lord had already told him, you will be victorious over the Midianites and they will flee as one unit. Gideon knew that because in these past 3-4 verses, he's already said, Lord, just as you have told me, Lord, just as you have told me. I'm not endorsing what Gideon did, but we see even in the midst of his fear, he makes a right choice. He makes the choice to trust. So our question is this, in the midst of our weakness and our fears, how do we live by faith? We see Gideon, a fearful, ordinary farmer, a weak individual who lacked and doubted and questioned God. How did he live by faith? Well, he made a choice, even in the midst of his fear, to trust God. We have to ask ourselves that same question. Am I going to choose to obey God no matter what? Living by faith doesn't depend on how I feel. It doesn't depend on what I see. And it doesn't depend on what may happen. Gideon was nothing special. Gideon is an example of you and me. Placed there in the scriptures as an example of how we are to live in the midst of fear and doubt. And at times we question God. I believe he's listed in the book of Hebrews as an example of faith because even in the midst of his fear, he obeyed God. So even in the midst of his fear, he made a choice to trust. He didn't let his fear make the choice. He still cut down the idols. He still led the army. So now the question for us is, what does that mean for me? Living day by day in the midst of my messing up, in the midst of me being afraid, how do I live by faith? And my challenge to you is to make a choice. That this is what God has said, and I will choose to trust him. And the only way we are able to make a choice to trust God is if it's rooted in a relationship with him. That in spite of everything I see, I'm going to trust him because he's the one who said it. We can identify with that. If I'm close in a relationship with my wife and she comes and tells me something, I'm going to trust what she is telling me because I know her. I know her character. I am close to her. If somebody I don't know too well comes and tells me something, I'm not going to believe it right away because I don't know them. I don't know their character. They could be deceiving me. They could be dishonest. So the way you are able to make a choice to trust is if it's rooted in a close relationship with God. Because you know him. You know his character. You can trust him. Now, when God tells us things in his word, we need to understand it's coming from a heart of love, someone who knows you and who wants what's best for you. Can we trust the one who created all things, the one who sustains all things, the one who knows all things, the one who gave his life for me? He has definitely proven that he is worthy, hasn't he? So when you think about it today, living life by faith is not complicated. It's extremely hard, but it's actually quite simple. All it requires is that we trust and obey God. Even in the midst of our fears and in the midst of our weaknesses, we trust and obey God. And when we do that, it allows God the platform to do the miraculous. And you know what we see in chapter 7 is God does the miraculous. When Gideon continues to obey God, his faith is actually strengthened. And we see God do an incredible work. We see Gideon with 300 men overtake an army of 100,000 just with torches and some broken pitchers. Let me ask you the question today. Are you living by faith, even in the midst of fear, struggles, and weaknesses? Because you can. All we have to do is remind ourselves to trust and obey God. I hope that'll be an encouragement to you today. And remember, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Have a wonderful day.